My guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He is the president of the National Taxpayers Union. We wanted to get him back on the program to have him comment on the fact that Congress to this point has not taken his advice to move aggressively on tax reform. Pete was with us late last year and said Congress had about a 6 to 8 month window this year to really get moving on tax reform, meaningful tax reform, before the heat of the presidential campaign kicked in. There was no major move on tax reform, even in committee, much less on the floor of either chamber. So, Pete, first of all, thanks for being with us. Secondly, what do you make of the fact that this did not turn out to be the priority you were hoping it would be this year?
The only encouraging sign we've had is that the Senate Finance Committee finally completed its work on the various aspects of tax reform that had been convened through their working groups. Those reports came out a few weeks ago. They're certainly very instructive. They could provide several different paths for tax reform, but Congress remains stuck on the first step of that path, not holding hearings, not having votes. This, unfortunately, is not very encouraging. We will likely not see a comprehensive individual and business tax reform bill this year. We might see something that would be fairly comprehensive in one of the areas of taxation, but not all.
Why do you think this is the case? Why do you think this didn't advance more?
Part of the problem has been this question of whether you approach tax reform like you're peeling an apple or peeling a banana. I'll try to explain. When you peel an apple, at least one part of the apple ends up being without peel. The other part still has the peel left on it, and that sort of explains why there are some interests in Washington who are saying, well, we don't want to be the ones who get peeled first. Tax reform has to happen all at the same time for everybody in the same phase-in, same rates, same deductions, same years, or we're not buying it. Well, if you do tax reform like you're peeling a banana and think that the peel gets pulled away from the banana in equal lengths, that's the way to approach it. If you do it that way, then all of the interests in tax reform are balanced. Congress has yet to find a way to peel the banana.
Pete, obviously, as you well know, there's been quote-unquote comprehensive bills coming out of this administration that make a lot of taxpayers shudder, whether it's the health care bill, the banking bill, or some other major pieces of legislation. Immigration is certainly one that didn't end up getting all the way to becoming law, but it certainly drew a lot of frustration. And a lot of folks on the right in particular have said comprehensive is just not the right way to go, certainly on those issues. Why is it different on tax reform?
With tax reform, of course, the disparities can be so dramatic if you don't try and do things comprehensively. You could have entire sectors of business or entire classes of individuals left with much, much higher tax bills than others. It's already the case under the current system. It could get worse under a reform system unless you handle the transition properly. And that's where a lot of the opposition comes from. Probably the best approach that we can hope for now would be to, say, focus on the corporate income tax part only, perhaps waiting to do the individual and small business sides in the next Congress. Focus on the major business tax rates and tax bases, and perhaps go sector by sector to the point where you tackle energy and agriculture and transportation at once, then manufacturing, and you just go down the line in a rather short period of time. Maybe that's an approach that's still good, but not as comprehensive as we had hoped for.
Pete, what's the level of urgency here? Obviously, our economy is not as strong as we'd like it to be this long after the financial crisis of 2008. People would want more take-home pay. We want to have a more competitive position in the global economy as well. So how urgent does this need to be for lawmakers?
It's an absolutely urgent task, especially for the larger businesses, because they are the ones that not only have the means but the motive to do things such as inversions, relocating their headquarters overseas. The rates and the differences in how the tax bases are defined and the huge compliance burdens that the U.S. tax system imposes on large businesses all incentivize them to go to tax-friendlier climates. And again, they are more capable of doing such things than, say, a small business might be or an individual family. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Pete, let's talk a little bit about the presidential campaign. It's obviously still in the early stages, despite the massive amount of media attention it's getting right now. The first votes won't be counted until early February. When you look at what the candidates are saying about tax policy, some of their positions may still be in the process of being formulated here, but we know what some of them are, and some have talked about tax simplification, although the issue didn't really come up in the first Republican debate. Who out there, from what you've read so far, do you think is on the right track, and which ones are you a little bit concerned about?
Well, if you're looking for the most comprehensive tax reform, Governor Huckabee has advocated a fair tax, which would replace the current system completely with a national retail sales tax for a number of years. He has held this position. Also, Senators Rubio and Paul have come up with their own tax reform plans that would at least dramatically scale back the rates and brackets and clawbacks and deductions of our current system. There could still be others, Rick Perry among them, who would advocate more aggressively a flat rate income tax to replace the current system. Now, besides, though, Senators Rubio and Paul, we haven't really seen an aggressive push on the part of any of the candidates to advocate for their reform plan. And we need to see more of that on the campaign trail as a sign of their seriousness in pursuing it if they were ever elected.
Let's follow up on a couple of those plans. Rand Paul was on one of the Sunday morning chat shows over the weekend, and they talked about his plan. He wants to bring down the income tax rate to, I think, 14.5%, but he also wants to bring in what's known as a value-added tax. What's the NTU's position on that?
Value-added taxes can be very dicey propositions. Citizens in Europe have discovered that once such a thing is introduced, the rate tends to creep up past 20% in most countries. Plus, the administrative burden is very difficult for businesses. If we're going to do something like a VAT that replaces part of the income tax, you'd have to have constitutional protections against the rates going up. Plus, you'd have to do something called a subtraction method, which is less difficult administratively than what they do in Europe. I still would be very skeptical of such a thing and would prefer that we look at a retail sales tax or some other kind of consumption tax to replace the income-based levy. It's simpler, it's more visible.
And that's what you just said, that Governor Huckabee has been advancing for a number of years. So let's talk about that briefly. First of all, would it provide enough revenue to compensate for what we're taking in right now? And secondly, the big complaint against the fair tax by some is that it's more burdensome to poorer Americans. What are the facts?
Yes. Well, the fair tax proposal, at least in its legislative form, is designed to bring in about the same amount of revenue as the current federal income and payroll tax. It requires a rate of 23%, which is quite high for many people's tastes. But of course, that's almost the rate that a middle class or upper middle class family would be paying in income and payroll taxes anyway. Now, the fair tax also protects lower-income Americans by creating a rebate system, really a prebate that every household would get based on their size, so that purchases that would help them to maintain a standard of living above the poverty level would not be subject to tax. So that's one way that the regressivity issue is addressed.
Pete, fascinating stuff. And since there's, 17 Republicans and now 5 or 6 Democrats in the race, I'm sure you'll have plenty of plans to pour over here in the coming months. And we look forward to chatting with you once some of those details come forward.
Absolutely.
Pete Sapp is president of the National Taxpayers Union. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.